who did really well in this?
Well, again, I don't think there's any one definition of doing really well. I think those cities that sort of had higher indications of resiliency and seemed to be outperforming, we can say, okay, they're doing well, were those cities that really had a deep understanding of who they were, both the assets and liabilities that they brought to the table, had a clear vision for what they wanted their city to be, and that there was a unified leadership, not always elected. Sometimes it was the civic leaders or the corporate leaders that had come together to articulate this vision, and they were unified around it, and everybody was able to speak with one voice about where the city was going, what its priorities were, what some of the challenges that remained, what those were, and had a very realistic view of not only of the city and of itself, but also where they fit in their region, and also sort of their role globally in many cases as well.
That's really interesting. And were you seeing different styles of leadership groups, or were there individuals who led these efforts?
In many cases, across several of the cities, and I think Rockford would fall into this category as well. For many of these cities, the height of the distress came during the 80s when there was a great loss of industry and associated jobs. And so in many of these cities, what you saw is that there was a group of business leaders that came together during the early years of that decade and said, you know, we sort of have to take our destiny back into our own hands. And this is, if we're going to survive, we have to do it together, and we have to articulate, again, what we want to be and where we are. So that was one of the clear sort of inflection points or turning points, if you will. What that leadership has evolved into over the decades and what it looks like is really depends on the landscape of the cities. In some cases, you have a dynamic elected official who is really leading the charge. More often, it's an economic development corporation and supported by the private sector and then linked into the other resources of workforce development and training that really create the network and the infrastructure that is needed to implement this vision.
Is there public buy-in? I know that's been a challenge in Rockford over the years, is getting people to, you know, pull together and unite behind something.
Yeah, I think there is public buy-in. It's not always unified. And something that we heard in some of the cities was, you know, a longing for the good old days, whether that was when jobs are plentiful and easy to come by, or perhaps when life was a little bit slower, or there was a more sort of small town feel to where they lived. Change is hard for people, and certainly there are people who wish that things had never changed. I think, though, that there is a uniform agreement that has to happen, and in some of these areas, there people lament that there's increased truck traffic, for example, and that it's noisier and more congested, and yet at the same time, there's a recognition that with those trucks comes jobs and production and activity, and so there's that trade-off, and I think that there's always that tension, and I imagine that tension is healthy. People should always be questioning, is this the direction we want to go in? Is this the best direction for us?
When it comes to diversity, how does that play out in these evaluations?
In the sort of economic development literature in general and the research that's being done, it's something that came up over and over in our discussions, and it's something that we are going to look at again sort of further in the future. But certainly the issues of diversity and inclusion are very important when one starts to think about economic development. A couple of the cities that referred to the issues of diversity as their Achilles heel, and they really recognized that until they were able to address what were for them very legacy issues of racial divisiveness, that they were not going to be able to achieve their full economic potential. You know, in other cities that were confronted with new or immigrant populations, they were very intentional about working to integrate these populations. They recognized them as an asset. You know, it was having an immigrant population represents as an indicator of opportunity. There's obviously jobs there, and so, but it was a question how to balance. How to come to terms with those changes. And many of them were very concerned about saying, we have this new population, but we don't hear from them. We don't know how to reach them. We don't know. They're not represented in government. And that was something that was a very, very often articulated concern.
Were there any exciting ideas that surprised you during this research?
You know, I think what is, I mean, we sometimes are very far removed from the, you know, the cities themselves. And so it was really in some cases stunning to see the local coordination, and at this point almost a multi-generational level of coordination that was happening to help move these cities forward. There is a great deal of pride and a very strong sense of identity in all of these cities, regardless of sort of where they fit in that spectrum right now. And they very much realized that it could no longer be business as usual and that they were being very active and taking a lot of risks in terms of ensuring that they were part of the economy moving forward. There is this universal concern about education and workforce development and workforce readiness and ensuring that they have the workforce that can attract new businesses. And so perhaps if there was one thing that surprised me was the extent to which all of these cities were addressing that in very different ways. And I think that's something that we will continue to explore and listen to.
Did you get a sense, too, of what else these cities have to offer outside of the economic realm? Because everything's interconnected.
Sure.
But
sure, and that was something that did come up. I mean, it's like you said quite accurately that everything is interconnected, and so it is hard to just separate, you know, one piece of the pie from the rest of it. And also these cities realized and were in some cases challenged to provide that sort of complete experience for their residents. And so that, like I said before, was from the good schools to safety, to recreational opportunities, to cultural opportunities, to, you know, a walkable downtown with parks and green space, and all of those things that people want. Many of these cities also are older cities, and so their housing stock and infrastructure needs to keep up with the expectation of today's families who want larger houses and open floor plans and things like that. And so they, again, that this desire to grow economically by attracting new businesses and growing the jobs has to be balanced or has to happen at the same time that these activities are taking place on all these other fronts.
Is this first phase of studies, or what can leaders do with this information?
Well, we're in the process of returning to each of the 10 cities and you know, presenting our findings to the leadership there, and certainly returning to the folks we interviewed. And you know, I doubt for many of the cities that there's a lot in the study that surprises them. I think what is useful for them, and this is the way that Rockford has been using it, is to sort of compare yourself to other cities. And again, without sort of saying, wow, this city is doing a great job, and this city needs to, you know, get with the program, but looking at the data and sort of seeing where you fit and where those trends are. You know, Rockford is the one city that wasn't profiled that has shown great interest in it, and so it's been very interesting and sort of a learning experience for us to see that a city can come to this and say, you know, what we've heard is that you sort of, we're all right that we weren't profiled. We know ourselves. We know this data. What's useful for us is to learn from other cities and see what they're doing. And Rockford is going through this, you know, very exciting planning process right now. And so I think the release of the report is particularly timely for them. And so we're happy to be part of the discussions. You know, it's sort of an honor to be invited out and speak to the community. But it's always a great opportunity for us then to say, all right, we've done all this research. We've put out this book. We've got the website. So what? What does this mean for you? How can we support you as you move forward?